good, football fans? Welcome back to the Fourth and a Mile podcast alongside my good friends Brady and Jeremy. My name is Josh. We appreciate you all tuning in. So as you heard on the intro, Bradley will not be joining us because his wife, Megan, actually just gave birth to their first child. So congratulations to Bradley and Megan, and congratulations to Brady is becoming an uncle again. So really fun time for his family, and then all of us, you know, supporting him and being super happy for him. So boys, it's been an awesome weekend because of that so far, but how are we doing?
It's been a crazy week. So let's touch on the birth of would be my niece. This is the first female Rose that has been born into the family on our side of the family. I have two brothers. Everything's been sports. So I got to see my little niece today, and it softens your heart, and it's awesome. Congrats to those two. Let's transition a little bit because we need to talk football, but there's something that's more important than football right now. So we recorded last Sunday night like normal. Everybody who's probably listened to this podcast has heard what happened on Monday night, the scary injury of DeMar Hamlin. We intentionally delayed releasing our podcast. Obviously, at that point, football does not matter. We wanted to wait until good news happened, which has happened. Prayers have been answered. Good news, he's tweeting, he's posting stuff on social media. He's looks like he's on the road to a full recovery. So wanted to address that. Great news. Scary incident on Monday night. I know we've been talking profusely about it in our group chats and all that stuff. Not even worried about football. Like when we're editing the pod last week, it's just like, this can come later. We don't really care about the episode right now because the health of the players who you don't think are going to be in life-threatening injuries, when something like that happens, you take notice and try to pray as much as you can and give them support. So I guess I'll open it up to you guys if you guys have any thoughts on that before we move into the rest of the episode.
Yeah, I think we were, I mean, all four of us, we had been talking about it, you know, in our close group of friends. Like, it shook me pretty good, you know, and just having kind of the coaching perspective as well, and just trying to figure out, like, how the heck would I handle a situation like that? And then just trying to think, like, just imagine, like, your brother, you know, or, you know, your player, things like that. Like, what is going through your mind? And then you go to the family, and it really shook me. Okay. And then, I think we all have similar feelings. Like, for me, it felt like my life froze for 3 hours. Like, I just kept watching the coverage that whole night, you know, and still felt weird to just go right back to normal day-to-day stuff the next day. But I think the coolest thing was just seeing all of the love, you know, and all the, like, just the showering of goodness, I think, on him and to his family. You know, the Dan Orlovsky thing I tweeted about, I thought was awesome. Seeing him stop NFL Live and praying on air, that's something I'd never seen. I think seeing the players do that today, do that yesterday, stopping and praying and everybody praying. It was just really cool. And then obviously the foundation and the money there, just everybody coming together. And then when he was okay, like, my heart was so happy for him that he could see all of that goodness, like, see all of the love that people shared for his family, the love that, just the genuine care that people were exhibiting to him and his family. Like, it was super touching. And I think that you guys, I think it might have been Brady or somebody shared the Rex Ryan video, like that.
Yeah.
I think just about everybody's feelings of emotions. And, you know, like, I wouldn't have expected to get broken up about it, but even just talking about it, like, I'm getting chills and goosebumps again. Like, my heart was so happy for him just to be able to experience that, to be able to wake up, obviously. But then to experience and see just how the world, literally the world, not just the football community, the entire world came together for him was pretty awesome.
Completely. And one of your last points there, Jeremy, about him being able to actually see the complete reaction, I think is a super important part, because oftentimes, you know, we shower people with praise and it's too late sometimes in those instances, but being able to actually see, you know, all the kind messages and thoughts and prayers that he received, and him being able to actually see that was awesome. I had such a different experience because I was actually watching a movie with my wife at the time. And so I didn't think it was nearly as serious as possible or as it ended up being. And then, you know, the game, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like once that, like people were talking about the game, not playing. And I was like, holy cow, like this is a really, really big deal. So I'm really happy that he was able to recover completely, or not, we're not out of the woods completely yet, but that he's made huge strides, massive, massive strides. So I'm really happy to hear that. And it's just been great.
Well said, which now leads to a good segue, because now we get to talk about football, right? Like it would have been tough for us to come on and talk about football, and even the players play football. So now we get to actually.
I don't know how they would have played. Like, I literally don't know how the Bills would have played.
Right.
Had there not been improvement. It's crazy. Yeah, crazy.
Yep. So let's talk about the playoff preview first. So on today's episode, we're going to review our My Guys, what we had for the year. I'm just warning you right now, mine aren't great. So then we'll talk about, we mentioned in last week's episode that we're going to dive into our rankings and basically what happened throughout the year. So we're going to start with the running back position after the break today. And it's going to be a fun episode. We got some superlatives to talk about what kind of happened this year in fantasy and to see maybe what we can project off of what happened. So it'll be a fun episode. Let's talk playoff preview, looking on the AFC side. So the game between the Bengals and the Bills was suspended. So they just did not finish the game. It does not count towards anything. That means if the Chiefs won on Saturday night, they got the one seed. They did win on Saturday night, so they are the number one seed. Buffalo also won this week, which means they are the two seed. And if those two meet in the AFC title game, they will play at a neutral site, which I think is totally fair. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I think that's the right way to do it because you're just not going to make up that game. Let's move to the three seed. Cincinnati beat Baltimore today, so they are the three seed. No coin flip needed. They talked about that. There's just no need to address it anymore. Last night, Tennessee played, or Saturday night, I should say, Tennessee played Jacksonville to win the AFC South. Jacksonville won that game, so Jacksonville is the four seed. Oddly enough, the Chargers are losing to the Broncos right now, which I believe if they lost, they move to the six seed. And the Ravens move to the five seed, correct?
No,
because the Ravens lost. So the Chargers are the five seed. The Ravens are the six seed.
One, I think.
Yeah, and so then the Dolphins are the seven seed. So we're looking at Buffalo, Miami, and Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Jacksonville in the Chargers. So I guess give me your thoughts on these matchups. We aren't picking any Super Bowl champions, but just give me your thoughts on these three matchups on the AFC side.
Before we get into that, I do want to give a shout out to Mike Tomlin.
Yes, he
didn't make the playoffs because the Dolphins won, which kept them out. But another year that he was over 500, that roster should probably not have been over 500. And just given their schedule, given all the things they went through. So I just want to give a shout out to Mike Tomlin before we jump into the playoffs, because a team that finished 9-8 did what they were supposed to do today, but didn't get the help they needed.
And I think you saw enough from Kenny Pickett to be encouraged about that team. He obviously wasn't like a massive first year player, but like I thought he showed enough where you can feel encouraged going into the offseason to try and get some pieces around him, maybe on the offensive line in the draft.
Do you think he's Mac Jones 2.0? Do you think he's kind of absolutely bringing something similar? You don't think so?
Not even close. And they have two picks in the top 32.
Yeah, he's more mobile. He can play more off schedule, I think. But jumping into the matchups, to be honest, they're all very intriguing. I think, you know, Miami and Buffalo getting another crack at it there. Obviously, Baltimore, I mean, two divisional matchups, right? Two matchups that have shared teams from the division.
That matchup will only be good if Lamar plays.
Yes.
Yep, and I don't know if he's going to.
And I think Tyler Huntley not playing today is a pretty good sign that they don't think he's going to.
And I don't, this might be a bold take, but I don't even know if it's because he's not fully healthy. He might just be sitting out because of contract.
And they could be.
They didn't pay him. He does not want to get hurt again. That's speculation. Crazy. There's no source or anything. Like, that's just me thinking out loud to you guys. Right. That there could be some. That could be something in the back of his head too.
And it definitely very well could be. The 5-4 matchup of the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chargers is, to me, probably the most compelling, because I think one of these the team that comes out of this matchup has the ability to be like the Bengals from last year, where they kind of sneak up onto you and get into the playoffs. Like, I think both of these teams are playing fairly well right now. Now, obviously, the Chargers not as well today, but I think the Jags are scary. I think Trevor Lawrence is playing the best football of his career, and I think they're sort of like a team that could just get lucky, and you see that year after year in the playoffs.
I think they could beat the Chargers. I think they're playing with house money right now. I think they're a year ahead of where they actually thought they were going to be. I don't think there's any chance they would go to Arrowhead and win. But I do agree. No. They think they have a chance at SoFi.
No, I agree with that. And I think
Bengals were playing with house money last year. Maybe a year ahead of where we thought they were going to be.
Joe Burrow was ahead of where Trevor Lawrence is right now. Just Matt. Honesty. Trevor Lawrence has taken a step. But Joe Burrow was ahead of that step.
I know we've talked about this before, but the amount of young quarterbacks in the AFC are so much better than the young quarterbacks in the NFC at this point. So, like, guys like, you know, Herbert and Mahomes and Lawrence are all going to be going at Josh Allen are all going to be Joe Burrow, all going to be going after it in the AFC for the next, you know, 7-8 years. Like, it's just going to be so much fun to watch.
Yep. Let's move over to the NFC really quick. So we're recording right now, and the Seahawks and the Rams game is in overtime. Baker Mayfield threw an interception. Seattle is in field goal range. So it looks like Seattle is going to win that game, even though they missed a field goal in the fourth quarter to win it. I would guess Seattle wins that game. So let's talk about the playoff picture. Philadelphia won their game. They are the one seed. They get the first round bye. San Francisco is 12-4. They won their game 38-13 today. They are the 2 seed. The Minnesota Vikings are the 3 seed. And the 4 seed is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 5 seed is Dallas. 6 seed is the New York Giants. So we all know that is set in stone. The 7 seed's where it still gets interesting. If Seattle wins, Detroit has nothing to play for, and Green Bay, it's either Green Bay or Seattle. If Seattle loses the game, it's either Green Bay or Detroit. So Green Bay controls their own destiny. If they win tonight, they are the 7 seed, and they will play San Francisco. And if not, it looks like it's going to be Seattle. It doesn't look like Detroit has anything to play for tonight. Thoughts on the NFC, at least the first week, and if you have any thoughts on future weeks, that'd be interesting as well, too.
Yeah, I think it's interesting how the Cowboys are, how much of a favorite the Cowboys are going to be versus the Buccaneers and in a way playoff matchup where the team won 12 games and had a really good a statistical shot of being the 1 seed and is going to have, in a way, the playoff matchup their first week, which I think is super interesting. Do you think who of the outside of the top 2 seeds do you think has a shot at making a run for it? Do you think the Cowboys are the most primed to make a run to win the NFC?
That's what the public opinion thinks. I still think the Vikings do. Obviously they won close games, but they're battle tested. I think as far as like skill, they have the best receiver in football. I think they have a quarterback who can sling it. A little bit banged up right now, so we'll see how that transpires. I'm not sure. I hope Zadarius is back. We have no idea what personal matter he's been out with. But hopefully hopefully he's okay. And he can play in the playoffs. So, ideally I'd like to say the Vikings, but I'm sure a lot of people probably think the Packers as well, but that'll be an interesting matchup with them against San Fran.
Right. But Becker, kind of the Packer perspective, because the Packers and Niners have had a history in the playoffs and has not been too kind for the Packers. So, obviously you want to make the playoffs. That's the goal tonight, is beating the Lions, but the prize is facing that rival of yours in the playoffs. That's gotten your better. You've been the upper hand in recent matchups. So like, are you just dreading that? Or are you like, maybe it's different this time?
It does worry me for sure. Now, I will say, obviously the Packers defense is playing better in this stretch. But I saw a stat in the last 4 weeks. I think it was during the winning streak, the team, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. The team that has the opponent's least amount of rushing attempts against them has been the Packers. So teams are running the least during this winning streak against them, which has been their biggest weakness. Now having the lead has helped.
I was going to say that kind of seems correlation and causation.
Yeah. Because they've gotten it early, but the running game still, like, although it's been better, that still has always been their Achilles heel and worries me. And Kyle Shanahan has figured out how to attack it. So
Elijah Mitchell coming back too, and having that depth at running back certainly is going to be a tough matchup to defend.
The competitor in me is I wanted Green Bay in the first round. I wanted the 2 seed play Green Bay in the first round just because of that sour taste. But I'm also not mad that if we have to play Green Bay again, it's in the NFC title game. So we should be at US Bank.
That'd be so fun.
I do think there's something to be said about momentum though. And obviously the Packers would have it, you know, having 5 in a row, but the Niners have it right now too. I mean, they've, I
don't know. 9 in a row, 10 in a row. First time since 97.
As just like the, like realistic fan, like there's no, like to me, there's no way they win the Super Bowl. It's got to end, right? There's no way.
You saying the Packers?
No, the Niners.
Like, I mean, I very much give the Packers a chance to win. They run similar systems. They're playing good football. They definitely have a chance. I no doubt in my mind they have a chance.
I will also not be surprised if the Buccaneers beat the Cowboys.
Same. Oh my gosh, same.
Oh, I would.
Why? The Cowboys just lost 26-6 today against Washington.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think
they're playing for a chance to move up. Like,
yeah, they were playing for the 1 seed. Yes, they absolutely were.
That's a fair point too. I just think they're a significantly more talented football team.
I don't know. They like to run the football. Enough. Tampa Bay does a good job of that too. Okay.
That's a very good point.
Let's review my guys. where do we want to start with this? I'll give my first one, then I can get out of the way. Trey Lance was my first my guy. I don't think I can count that as an L because he got hurt. He had ups and downs in his preseason and the two games. I think he had 2 games that he played. He is an intriguing player next year. Is he San Francisco or where is he? So we'll talk about that when we get into quarterbacks. We don't need to do anything. I would just count that as a no decision. So moving on to Bradley's first one. His first my guy was A.J. Dillon. Finished as the running back 27. I would count this as a miss. You were not happy with A.J. Dillon if you played him. He was probably on waivers for a lot of leagues. He had one top 24 finish in the first 11 weeks. So you couldn't feel any sense of comfort with playing him. So I guess I would personally count that as a miss. I guess I don't know what your guys' thoughts are.
I honestly thought that his running back average draft was like the 20th running back off the board. So it feels that AJ Dillon just exploded in value. Like it was horrible, blew up in your face, but it just didn't end as bad is what you probably felt it was throughout the year. But yeah, I still agree that massive disappointment there.
You can't look at his finish either.
Yeah,
I know.
I
would
say his last month, you know, 3 weeks to a month probably saved his finish overall.
Yep.
Because he had a stretch there where there was,
you know, 12, 4, 9, whereas 3 for, yeah.
If you were putting him in, you were at that point, you had no other option and you were just hoping for the best.
Right.
Because some people draft him as high as
fourth round.
Yeah.
Me.
I couldn't remember exactly what it was.
Yep.
But yeah, you definitely weren't thrilled. I mean, and after week one, you were like, oh, I did exactly what I was supposed to. Like maybe even.
Oh, yeah.
And then the usage rates just like completely shifted. And it's really not even like they massively went up for Aaron Jones, because even Aaron Jones at times didn't have a great usage rate. There was just a lot of weeks in there that they really didn't know where their identity was, and that didn't help either players.
Let's move on to Jeremy's first one. Double pits to Chesty. Michael Pittman Jr. finishes the wide receiver 20. I classify this similar to what A.J. Dillon was, where his finish is like, okay, that doesn't look that bad. He only missed one game this year and finished as a wide receiver 20. He had 5 games in the top 24. You're just not super thrilled, I guess. Jeremy, what do you think about it?
No, it was definitely disappointing. I mean, I saw him as a wide receiver one, like somewhere between wide receiver 10 to 13 range. To me, that would have been a big win. Now you see him around wide receiver 20. So he's definitely a little lower than what I expected. You know, weeks four through 10, he had only one double digit week and he had 19 that week, but that's that stretch that really hurt you. Outside of that, you know, you were happy when you played him. He just got really, you know, he was bitten by the quarterback bug and it just wasn't ideal for him. I mean, they started three different starters throughout the year and it was changing all the time. And, you know, I would expect next year to be better for him.
There's reason to be optimistic next year Definitely. For him because a different quarterback has to be there, whether it's they have a top five pick, they draft a quarterback, or they bring in somebody like a Jimmy Garoppolo, like a Derek Carr, or, I mean, I don't know, Tom Brady. Does he have any interest in going there? Probably not. But there's reason to be optimistic there.
And the last thing I would say, and just to build on, to wrap up on that point, the process of what we're projecting was there. He had 10 weeks, if I'm counting this correctly, 10 weeks of eight targets or more. And that's what we were hoping for. It just didn't turn into the result in which we thought it was going to.
Right. Moving on to Josh's first, my guy, there is no question about this one. Jalen Hurts, currently as the quarterback 3, absolutely a hit. I guess the only thing I'll add before I turn it over to Josh and what he thought about Jalen Hurts is he very much killed you in the playoff time. So he very much helped you get to where you were. It just stunk he couldn't be healthy to propel you to a fantasy championship.
Yeah, completely. So he gave you that positional advantage of rushing that, you know, was so alluring of what, you know, a season possibly similar to this could have been in the cards for Trey Lance, or, you know, possibly he took that step passing that from last year to this year that we are envisioning maybe a, you know, oh my goodness, rushing quarterback for the Bears, that's blank of Justin Fields, that we're looking at maybe him taking that step next year. So, really happy with that. And he gave that positional advantage, just didn't work out in the playoffs.
Yeah, nothing to add. He absolutely a hit. Moving on to my second one, we do not need to take long on this. Courtland Sutton, the guy who I had in my top 10, he finished as a wide receiver 45. Anything Denver didn't pan out well for you. So 100% going to take my L on this one. There's really nothing to add as far as future outlook for him. It's not very bright. It's really not, which means he's going to absolutely go off next year because I'm going to be down low on him. But, yeah, not a hit there. Bradley's second, my guy. Anything to add on Courtland Sutton?
It just can't be any worse next year than last year. And I think possibly the coaching change is going to help that out.
Yeah,
Sean Payton would make it a little interesting for me. I'll be honest with you.
For sure. Outside of that, though, it's just hard to see where, like, you're finding your optimism from. Because, again, like, we thought Nathaniel Hackett, offensive mind, like, we thought that was going to be. So, it's hard to find optimism.
Bradley's second, my guy. Saquon Barkley, 100% consensus hit. Running back 5, didn't even play this week. I mean, when I look at his rankings, there is a ton of green. He is in the top 15. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times.
That's insane.
10 out of his 16 weeks, and that's not even some of the weeks. His lowest finish was running back 40. He finished outside the top 24 twice. Unreal consistent.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those guys that helped you get to the, you know, championship, no question, and helped you out in the playoffs quite a bit when you got there as well.
For sure. Mike Williams, I would be interested to know what you guys consider Mike Williams. I think it's a no decision. He just got banged up. He was productive when he played. This is Jeremy's second, my guy, by the way. But I mean, he had weeks like you could have played him when he came back from his injury. His first week back in the injury, off of his injury, he was wide receiver 5. So I think his outlook is still fine for next year. 4 touchdowns on the year. I guess, Jeremy, what do you think about Mike Williams?
I think no decision is probably the right answer because he was, in my opinion, closer to a hit than not. I mean, he missed 4 full games, and the one game that he played against Kansas City when he was kind of working back from the injury, he re-aggravated it on their, like, second drive. So it was basically almost 5 full games. you know, he averaged just over 11.5 0.5 fantasy PPR points. And if he plays three more games with his average, he finishes as wide receiver 18, which is probably beginning. And now I had him higher than that, but that's about where he, you know, people probably thought he could be or his ceiling to be. So I think outlook is positive for him next year. I think there's reasons to be optimistic, obviously, when you have a young, good quarterback and they have a good offense. But I think Brady's right when you say probably a no decision.
It's just frustrating with him because the talent's there and that's never been in question. It's just a matter of, can the dude stay healthy? And so he got carted off this week as well. So that's
Mike Williams did.
He did. Yeah. That came out of Sleeper 2 hours ago.
He's back.
Yeah. So that's just super frustrating that the guy's just so insanely talented. He's so big. He's going to win those contested, you know, fade routes in the end zone, but he just can't seem to stay on the field, which is just really frustrating to watch, and you have a feel for the guy.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's move to Josh's second, my guy. We're looking at Joe Mixon. He finishes the running back 12. I would be interested to know where you guys, is this a hit? Is this a push? Is this a miss?
I don't think so. I think that his ADP was higher than that. And if I'm having him as a my guy, then I'm expecting him to not just be like, but like, okay, nope. He was a net positive on draft, you know, position because you drafted him in the first round. You are not wanting a RB12 with that draft capital. So I would lean no, but he definitely didn't kill you.
It's definitely not a miss. I that's what I'll say. That's where I kind of went with a push. Because, like, I mean, for us, our rankings, we had him at 8. So he didn't hit his ranking. Like, Josh, you had him at 5. But I'm not going to say it's a miss because, I mean, he had so many weeks where he helped you out. He so, like, it's definitely not a miss.
Yeah, I would say push. Because, points. To be honest, his weeks were, they weren't hurting you, but they weren't always, like, winning you the week. That's just kind of what his season was this year. So, like, but he was fine. Like, he was fine. He never really, like, you know, wrecked your week.
Yeah, sure. Moving to my third, my guy, I went with Damian Pierce here, and I would say it's a injured related miss. I don't know.
I don't know.
Missed the last 4 weeks, finishes a running back 26. So he's outside the top 24. I had him ranked at 22 in my rankings.
I think you can take a win on that.
Oh, man. Love on this Sunday. No,
I honestly would agree with that because I think that you saw those peak performances from Pierce that I don't think the general fantasy community was envisioning for, you know, this fourth round rookie in a bad offense. And so he definitely helped you 100% and especially where you got him in the draft. So I definitely would lean hit of definitely more than miss.
And if you're basing that off of yours, if you base it off of ours, it's definitely like our thinking, it's definitely hit because you are unrealistically optimistic.
we're going to talk about it. Don't worry. We'll talk about it. Don't worry. Moving on to Bradley's third and final, my guy, it was Rashad Bateman. My app says he finished as the wide receiver 109 on the year. No, he was injured. So he did not play since week 8. We'll just say it was a no contest. I would say if he probably played, it wasn't looking too optimistic for him. He had a week where he was wide receiver 13 and 24. So we'll say it was a no contest because of injury. I guess outlook for him really quick because we might talk about him in the wide receiver rankings. He's 23 years old, but the system.
It could be better if honestly, this sounds weird, but Lamar. If Lamar's not there, the rushing totals are going to plummet for that offense. And we're kind of curious what their quarterback answer is if Lamar's not staying there, which I think the general consensus is that he is going to be staying there. But kind of curious of that, maybe Rashad Bateman's volume of passing work in that offense could go up if Lamar's not there.
Fair. Let's move to Jeremy's third and final my guy. Cole Kmet, his finish doesn't say it was that bad, but I would say it's a miss just because of the amount of dread we've talked about him on the episode. He finishes the tight end 10, but does not help when you start the season with 0-0. He had some good weeks. So if you, like, he could be a stream of the year, but I would not say he was a hit by any means on a my guy standpoint.
You know, he did just enough to try to get me to double down next year. That's what he did. No, he's definitely a miss, which is unfortunate because if it would have happened a couple weeks sooner, to be honest, even if you went to double goosed to start the year, you might be able to call him. But he hurt you so bad right away. And I am somebody he hurt because I drafted him in almost every league. He was one of my guys, clearly. And I played him in almost every league, both those first 2 weeks. And then he was off my team because I had to cut bait. You know, we talk about all the time about being flexible and trying to, you know, adapt. And at that point, he just didn't have it. Now, they started, once Justin Fields started figuring out is when, and I should say.
I would even say Luke Getsy.
That's what I'm saying. Like once he, that's what I was going to correct myself. Once he figured out how to help Fields, then they started finding Cole Kmet more. Now he was used almost like 100% of the time as a blocker in the first like 5-6 weeks. And then they finally started getting him out in routes. Now I think there's some optimism there for next year, just because I think Fields is going to kind of continue to keep going, but again, it's the tight end position. So I think anywhere there's touchdowns and some targets, there's optimism. So
this one might be the most controversial. Sorry, we're moving on. Good breakdown of Cole Kmet. Josh's final my guy. This one might be controversial. Leonard Fournette. He finishes a running back 11. What do we think? Is that a hit?
I think it's probably a hit. You guys were so
it is, but you can't feel good about it. That you
it's just a gross can't. Hit. It's a gross hit.
But hey, you know what? You take a hack and it's a little Texas leaguer, dribbler out into right field. You're standing on first base in the scorebook. That's a line drive, baby. It hits a hit.
Why don't you feel so good about it? Double down and have him be a my guy next year.
That's I'm not gonna do that.
No, that okay. Was a, you that can't was right make to me. The right fielder. He had it lined up and just lost it in the sun. It dropped right.
In front so of him. Hey, but it's still a hit, baby.
Are we talking baseball? Fine. Are we talking baseball though?
Hey, good.
I think that's a good time for a break. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and dive into the running backs.
Hi, guys. This is Jeremy Becker from the 4th and a Mile podcast. Just wanted to thank you guys for tuning in and remind you to follow us on Twitter at 4th and a Mile Pod. That's 4th and a Mile Pod. Thanks, guys. And now back to the sports.
Welcome back into the 4th and a Mile podcast. Getting into some running back review, I guess we could call it, reviewing the running back position for this last year. We'll go over some initial thoughts, and then we got some superlatives to talk about these players. So really quick, Seattle Seahawks won their game in overtime. So they, or the Green Bay Packers, will be representing the number 7 seed and heading to San Francisco. So go Lions, but let's get into our running back review. Any initial thoughts on the rankings? Is there anything that stuck out to you before we go into the superlatives?
Yeah, like potentially believing in a great offense, if there's not going to be one specific guy that you think is going to win the job, I'm thinking of Kansas City in particular, there's going to be a whole lot of value to be had if you don't believe in the talents in a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There's going to be a ton of value to be had in going with the other options, like, you know, the Jerick McKinnon or the Isaiah Pacheco. So potentially some thoughts to be had going this offseason, going into next year, where you can be able to find some value.
I think for me, the thing that stood out that I need to go reevaluate. So you got your top dogs, the guys who are a little bit older, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, Delvin Cook. I would even classify Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, those guys, Alvin Kamara, those guys who have been there. I would say tier 1-2 running backs. You're going to have those guys up there. But in that 12 to 20 range, I need to be better about moving younger running backs up. Whether it's not going to be pretty to start. So I'm looking at somebody like Breece Hall. I had him low. I had him at 24. If he played the whole year, he's a top 10 back. Somebody like Tony Pollard, the rookie out of Seattle, Ken Walker. Those players, James Cook, Ramondre Stevenson, these players who are taking over these middle of the pack older backs. What am I doing having Clyde or Kareem Hunt that high in our ranking? So for me, I think I need to go back and look at these younger running backs. And Travis Etienne is another player. Like, why was I not thinking that he would get the ball more? He was their first round pick. So valuing the younger running backs for me is something that I noticed.
And I mean, let's not to be too hard on yourself, because I mean, like, you could say the same thing for Clyde in that instance of like the draft capital being there for Kansas City. Oh, of course they were to get the ball to him because they're first round. So, Becker, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, I think that's a good point of that fine line between, you know, you don't win your league at the draft, but you also don't win your league by winning week one. So I think sometimes we think so much in the, like, I got it. You know, you're stacking your team for the now, right now, right now, right now. Yes, it's not a dynasty league if it's a redraft, but you also have to factor in, like, we just talked about how, you know, somebody like AJ Dillon had some really tough weeks, but ends up with a good finish, right? Because he has these other weeks that they figure it out. I think Brady's right, where you got to try to find some of those guys where you think they're going to figure it out sooner rather than later. And that gives you a massive advantage.
Yep. Okay. So let's talk about the superlatives. I'll go through them really quick and then we'll get into it. So the first one that we're going to do is where we were as like a consensus, where were we wrong? And then as a consensus, where were we right? Then we're doing individual rankings that bugs you, that still bugs you. You look at the rankings, you're like, why did I think about that? An individual ranking of someone else. So someone on our pod, their individual ranking, and why does that bug you? Biggest tick down next year, biggest stock up for next year, and then biggest storyline heading into the offseason. So let's get into where as a consensus we got it wrong. Who wants to go first on where we got it wrong?
I'll go first.
Okay, let's hear it.
There's one that stands out to me. Now, this, I think, is somewhat fair, but we completely overlooked how much Dan Campbell loves Jamal Williams. We did not factor that into our rankings. We had him in the 40s. And according to what I'm looking at from all this is standard. I had it standard. In standard leagues, he was a top 10 running back.
I mean, he led the league in touchdowns, so we got it wrong anyways.
In half-point PPR, he was RB12. So, obviously, we were wrong. Now, I don't think that's something we can totally predict there, but they do love him there. So, that is something to know.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the other low-hanging fruit on that is Tony Pollard. We had him at 37, and it's not even like – so, a couple of the massive – rises in value like Ken Walker, like that's injury related, like Rashad Penny got hurt, but Zeke was fine like this year and he was just such a huge value. So we were very much wrong on Tony Pollard and super interested to see where he's looking next year.
So I thought this one was the lowest hanging fruit, but I'm glad we all have different answers. What were we thinking on Josh Jacobs? That's a starting running back who's 24 years old with a new offensive system. We have him at running back 25. He was, I don't know what he ended up finishing, but he was top five for sure. He was Bradley's MVP. So I'm interested in
I think us and the
Hall of Fame game.
The Hall of Fame game set the tone for every – that mixed with the not picking up the option.
Yeah.
Set the tone for everybody's projections.
Oh, it definitely surprised the Raiders, too.
We were all in on Zamir White. I think everybody, Zamir White value. Like, and
yeah.
Scratch every week.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Any other ones that stood out, or can we move on to the next one?
I was going to say Kamara. I mean,
but. Yeah. Swift. Yep. I had Ramondre. We talked about him a little bit. We had him at 41. He was absolutely if you drafted him as the RB 41, he was a league winner for you. Like he finished in the top 15. So as a consensus, where do we get it right?
For me, like this is again, this is pretty low hanging fruit. But I mean, a lot of people had Eckler up really high. But you know, we had him, you know, three, and he. The touchdown regression did not hit at all. Like he went from 20 last year to, I believe, 19 this year. So the guy was just incredibly consistent. I'd be surprised if he can get there again next year, but it's passing game work and touchdowns until he doesn't do it. So
yep.
That's what I had.
Yeah. I went similar line as well. Like I just thought out of, you know, two of our top three was Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. And now, no, am I giving us a gold star for getting that right? I'm not. But, you know, we did have Christian McCaffrey tied for the same amount of total when you factor in our consensus with JT.
Yep.
So we were, you know, I think we were right on track with the top guys out of those couple.
Here's an interesting one for you. David Montgomery. David Montgomery, we had him as our consensus running back 19. He finished the year from after week 17 as a running back 22 for half point PPR. That's pretty darn close for somebody who is in and out of the lineup, somebody who had Khalil Herbert there. I think we got that one right if we're three spots off there. So moving on to, let's talk about individual rankings. I'm interested to know where you guys thought. This is your own rankings that still bugs you on where you had them finish.
For me, it was really easy. Early on in the offseason, I was super high. I ended up still being the highest on Tony Pollard, but I was still at 31. And that's why I'm annoyed, because I was super high on him. I think I had him when I first kind of went through the rankings, like I was thinking mid-20s, maybe even early 20s. And I kind of got sucked into the Zeke's, you know, Zeke's going to be there. He's going to be healthy. He's going to be the lead guy. And I just sort of faded from my love for Tony Pollard. So that one still hurts me a little bit. I was never putting him in the top 20. So I'm not saying that. I was never going to be that right, for sure.
I still think 31's good. I think that's higher than a lot of people.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Brandon.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, for me, I think just being just to not wanting to pivot off of Derrick Henry, I was, like, per consensus, I was pretty low on him. I had him at 7. So I think he finished at 4, I believe, PPR. I just can't believe the guy that he's that old, getting this much volume, is still able to produce and be. It's the right move to bet against him continuing to be able to do it at the age of, what is he here, 29. But I guess until he breaks down, like, it's just incredible the amount of volume he's getting.
For me, we talked about the player already. I still can't get over me. I had Breece Hall at 24. This is a guy who hasn't played since week 8. But in weeks 2 through 7, his lowest ranking was running back 21. Like, this guy was going to go absolutely nuts in this system. I don't know. I feel like I was totally wrong on where I evaluated Breece Hall to go. In week 1, he was in a snap share. Even week 2, I guess you could say he was kind of he played 45% of the snaps in week 1 and 27% of the snaps in week 2. Otherwise, yeah, he started getting over 50% and he started going nuts. So I was severely wrong on where I should have had Breece Hall. And this was the crazy part, because he hasn't played since week 8, but I was totally wrong on evaluating where he should have gone.
I'm curious what you guys think about that. Do you think what we thought was coming for Breece Hall, it's same expectation
next year?
Yeah, like as soon as he's back.
We'll see how the offseason goes and how recovery.
Spoiler alert to episode 300 in next August. I probably won't draft him, but he is somebody after week 2 that I would try and trade for. Somebody's going to get sick of him. ACL injury, correct? So he's going to be a little bit slower to get started. But by week 4, unless something goes wrong with the rehab, and we're talking about some sort of similar to J.K. Dobbins situation, I would expect him to be ready to go. He's really young. He's how old is he? 20? 21.
That's crazy. So I'm so curious how those AC, I think him and Javonte both with really major injuries are going to recover this offseason, and how they're going to be able to perform first half of the year.
All right. So we did an episode called Call Them Out. This is similar to what we're doing here now. We're calling somebody out for their rankings. Like, what were they thinking here? What's a ranking that somebody else had that bugs them?
I mean, you already... go ahead, Becker.
Josh, you can go.
It was quick because Brady already brought it up. It was because I had Breece Hall eight spots higher than Brady did. He had him at 24. I had him at 18. Okay, so that's only 6 spots.
That's, math is hard, but it's okay.
Yep. only 6 spots, but I did think he was low on him. So that, and he kind of stole my thunder there, but that's who I had.
So I took it a different direction. I guess we want to call them out. I'd say Tony Pollard, I guess, for all of you guys.
Okay. Pollard.
But the direction I went with, I just took Bugs You literal. And we talked about this guy already. Like, I'm annoyed that Josh got Leonard Fournette right, because he was so nasty. He was so gross.
Like, that's good. That's a good one.
Like, it feels like he had a terrible year, but because he caught so many balls, like, you know, it, like three straight weeks, he was over like 8 receptions. It was like, well, yeah, I guess he was fine. He didn't hurt you.
Right.
I feel okay. That.
So I have two of them. I'm sorry. Jeremy, you're off the hook. I'll start with Bradley. He's not here. He is a guy 15 spots lower than me, and he finished in the top 15. Ramondre Stevenson, Bradley had at 48. What are we doing? That he needs to be called out for that ranking. That's bad. Fair. That's bad. He's not here to defend himself, but that's bad. And I am at 33, which is still severely lower than it should have been.
That's funny. It's besides you were in the 40s. Oh, no.
He's not here to defend himself, so I called him out. Next one, I think you guys all can predict this one. Josh, 20 spots lower on Damian Pierce, had him at 42.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
That's bad.
It's not bad. It's disrespectful. Not good.
Goodness oh my gracious. Gosh, that is really low. I did not know it was that low.
Hating on a my guy.
So got it was to. 22, 24 was Bradley then. I was at 30.
30.
And Josh was at 42.
Just way up there, like, hey.
Needs to be called out. Needs to be called out.
It's fair. It's fair. No question.
Okay, how about a running back that gets a tick down next year for you?
For me, a tick down has got to be DeAndre Swift.
You better say Leonard Fournette.
Oh, I mean,
yes,
fair.
Yes,
fair. But
if you have him in your top 12 next year, we might be going to third in a mile.
I'm not going to. So quit asking. But I had DeAndre Swift as a guy who, I mean, there was some injuries involved in there, but with any running back, that's going to be the case at least once throughout the year. But just maybe some of the touchdowns come back to Swift, but it was really, really bad.
Jeremy.
One guy that comes to mind for me is Kamara. Like, I've had him in the top six probably the last 3 years. Like, I don't know how you draft him probably in the top 10 next year. Depending on how the offseason goes, I guess.
Depending on quarterback.
And the trial stuff. Like, he could be out.
True. True.
So I just think there's a ton of mystery there. He is also getting older. So he's a guy in that kind of top, you know, group that we've kind of talked about as far as those aging studs, that he probably has a little bit more uncertainty there than some of those other guys.
For me, and I guess I'm on team Josh here, my stock downs Derrick Henry next year. I still think he's a really, really, really good player, but the Titans are in trouble. As far as like a team organization structure standpoint, their highest paid players are running back, a quarterback who's not great. I don't know what they're going to do with him. Defensive tackle and safety. Like, those are not your premier positions. So I'm nervous for the Titans. I still think Henry's going to be okay, but he's not going to get 300 carries. Like, so I'm incredibly nervous. Although I will say the encouraging part was he did catch passes this year. He did. But he will be a stock down for me. There's no chance. Throw it on a board. There's no chance he's a tier one running back for me next year. Doesn't mean he's not going to finish that way. I just think unless something changes with their offense, maybe they could find a suitor for Tannehill and somehow get Derek Carr or somehow trade for Jordan Love. Then maybe I'll think about something like that. But for me right now, it just doesn't seem like a tier one running back.
I'm not going to argue with you.
Yeah, I know. I know you're not. Stock up for next year.
Stock up. There's some low-hanging fruit. So, like, Ken Walker, we saw he was able to have those home run hits that he could score from 50 out, 60 out, that he showed Seattle's coaching staff that he can tote the rock. He can be that RB1 in an offense. And maybe they make a run in the playoffs. You know, we'll see. But for me, it's got to be Ken Walker.
What are you, JMX?
The guy that came to mind, like, immediately for me, it was Travis Etienne. Like, this is an offense that I think is going to continue to be better. And when I think stock up, I think higher than what we were drafting him this year. You know, like, I don't know if there's a ton more ceiling than what he was sort of doing at the end of the year. That remains to be seen, because he was pretty good. But I think he's in a really good situation. Trevor Lawrence is only going to keep getting better, hopefully. and this is a good offense. And I think he's going to have even more scoring opportunities next year because I think the offense is going to be even better.
Mine was Travis Etienne as well. Doug Peterson, unbelievable job this year. Like I said, I think they're playing with house money right now. Their defensive line is good. Their quarterback is improving. Their offense, they could go out and draft a guard in the draft and feel really comfortable with where they're at with Kelvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, Zay Jones. Hopefully you can get Evan Ingram back. Like Travis Etienne could tote the rock. You're talking about home run hitter. He might be one of the scarier ones in the league. Like he's got track speed. So Travis Etienne good, for me.
They're in a pretty good position to draft just best available. Like they're,
and
they're
in a by the way,
good position as roster right now.
They play in the worst division in football too. Second worst division. The NFC South's worse. I'll say that.
The NFC South is pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
To give him a shout out, Ramondre too. I think
he's
the guy who is going to be a top 12 back for draft position next year, I would imagine. And so maybe, I don't know, top 18. How can we?
Yeah, I think he would be right before the running back dead zone for me. He would be drafted where I think Fournette was going, beginning of the third round, end of the second round for me.
That's fair.
Looking at it now.
That's fair.
Let's talk biggest.
Are you going to throw out any more names? Nope. I was just going to throw out, just because this is a good section for our listeners just to keep in mind for next year as you start thinking about drafting. Two other names that we've already mentioned. I'm sure Brady's going to like this one. Damian Pierce. I think his stock is obviously up. I think Miles Sanders, too, is a guy you'll probably be drafting higher than.
Great offense.
I'm nervous for Damian. I'll be honest with you. I'm nervous because this was James Robinson 2 years ago. What if they bring in another coach and they bring in a different running back? And let's say they get Bryce Young and they want to be a straight shotgun offense. Damian Pierce is not that guy. So I'm a little nervous for him. Current state, I think Lovie deserves to get another year there. I think they should draft C.J. Stroud and run the same offense, and they're going to be significantly better. And I think then Damian Pierce, his ceiling is very high. But I'm a little nervous where some factors are that we just can't see right now. We'll be getting into the draft talk, but if they draft somebody in the top three rounds, man, I'm going to be nervous. Let's talk biggest storyline heading into the offseason for the running back position.
This is a little close to home, but I do think the Vikings have an out with Dalvin this year contract-wise. And so I think it's a massive, massive storyline because he's been such a top back, top 12, top six back, consensus for a bit now. Seeing where, if he stays or if he doesn't, where he ends up and is he going to retain some of that value. So I think it's such a big storyline for the running back position going into next year.
That's a good one.
This might be cheating, and I hope I don't steal Brady's thunder, but to be honest, for me, it's just like the running back free agency market. Like, I just think there are so many moving parts this offseason with the running back position. You can go look at every single running back that's a free agent. It could be on the move. And I think that changes a lot of things. The one that I wrote down originally was the Tony Pollard Zeke, situation. But then I was thinking like, dang, that could change a lot because what if Zeke goes somewhere else where there's, they have another, what if they paired him with Travis Etienne and they had a 1-2 punch there? Like, who knows? I don't think that would ever happen. And now a knock on wood.
He's look on his face. He's so pissed.
He's so pissed if that were to happen.
Oh my God.
But like, there's just so many things that could change what expect to be volume in certain backfields. And that, obviously is a thing to watch.
Yeah, that's a good point. So similar to my point, I have two of them, so I'm glad you said that one. The Tony Pollard destination for me was, does he stay in Dallas? Does he go somewhere else? Like, he is – if he goes somewhere else, I'm trying to think of a – the obvious one's Miami. Like, if he goes to Miami, he gets drafted in the first round. I truly pretty think much, so. Like, yeah. he home run ability, like a good system. That might be a bold take, but I think his production is – spoken for himself. So the one that I have is the outlook on Cam Akers. This is a guy I was very high on. And I think it's okay. We haven't talked about Sean McVay in this episode, but there's a chance he does not come back. It's still in question, but I still think Cam Akers is 23 years old. They wanted to see what they got out of him. And here's how we finished. The last 5 weeks, let's say last 6 weeks. So running back 7, running back 23, running back 23, running back 1, running back 14. And then this week he had 14.5 fantasy points. That seems like a top 4 round running back to me.
What a weird bounce back, though, of like where a guy was basically like, and that's one thing I think we need to keep in mind for a lot of different fantasy, you know, quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, where they can be absolutely dead to rights halfway through the season. Like, couldn't be having a worse year. But then a guy like Cam Akers or a guy like Jerick McKinnon or like these random players can be able to bounce back and be able to give you phenomenal value back half of the year. And I know it's a tough pill to swallow if you just keep a guy for 8, 9, 10 weeks and they're giving you nothing. Probably not going to, you know, do that, but I don't know how.
What I will say about the Akers situation, you know, their roster, their team makeup shifted dramatically with Stafford and Kupp and some of those other injuries. So that obviously I think aided some of that. What I'm interested is my initial thought. Well, first off, if Sean McVay is not there, this is crazy to me. I saw the article today was that supposedly, and I don't know how they know this or not, but that he's leaning towards more likely he wouldn't be there.
If he leaves, Cooper Kupp leaves, right?
Can't go anywhere.
No.
I don't think so.
I think Raheem Morris would get the job.
That's very fair.
So I don't know if I don't know who they would get for an offense coordinator, that because the offense coordinator, Liam Cohen or whatever his name is, he's leaving too. He's going back to Kentucky.
Oh.
So
well, what I was going to, I guess, pose is my initial thought is if Sean McVay leaves, that could maybe be a better situation for Cam Akers.
I don't know.
Because of the bad blood he has between him, you're saying?
Yeah, I was going to say only because there was obviously some beef there, like at some point.
I think it was get me the ball, and he finally did. I honestly don't know. That's probably what it was. But he was efficient with his touches, too. Over five yards carry the last five games.
Oh, he was good. Like, he was good once. He was given an once he had the opportunity again at the end of the year. He was.
So I feel like you can feel fine about going into next year. You don't have to worry about, like, how does he recover from the injury? Because he's already now over a year removed. So I will be very interested.
If you're a dynasty manager, do you try to use that hope to sell?
So I have him in a dynasty league. If somebody offered, it would take a decent amount because I wouldn't sell him low. A 23-year-old back, he's still got 4 years of his prime. So obviously he's in a tier below some of these young stud backs, like maybe a tier below what Tony Pollard would be worth. But you know, Tony Pollard is 25. 26, and you don't know where he's going to be. So current state, he has some uncertainty. You know that that Cam Akers still has guys around him, and I would guess somebody from the Sean McVay tree is still going to be there. So
Becker, so not being, because I know I think Brady and I have tried to talk Cam Akers in trades and dynasty in the past, and our versions of his value, I guess that was a long time ago as well. We're way off. So, Becker, what would you rather have, a second rounder or Cam Akers?
For me, that's Cam Akers easy.
I know it is. That's why. Okay. Like a 2 and a 3, you'd rather have the 2 and a 3 or Cam Akers?
Cam Akers.
I'd probably take the chance on the 23-year-old running back.
Fair. So you know that he's getting a starting running back. In the second round or the third round, you're drafting a guy. Like, I'm just trying to think of yeah, absolutely not. Then I would take Cam Akers over James Cook any day.
Yeah, I'm not. I was just giving you an example of a guy who was drafted around that area. But yeah, it'll be super interesting how the offseason plays out for him for sure.
I think a late first would get me to interested in starting to trade for him. That's where I would start in 2024 or 2023. He's gonna be my guy probably because of how he finished.
I think second and a younger player, like then I don't know if I'd give up a first
for Kadarius Toney and a second. Give me Kadarius Toney in a second. Come on.
How about a late second and Tyler Allgeier?
I would think about that.
I just don't know how I feel about Tyler Allgeier because he had a good year, but not a lot of capital towards him.
I know. Yeah. The hard part is like, they could go out and draft a guy same cost. And
yep. Let's talk our ones got to go. We've had a really good discussion on running backs. So we're going to cap it out with One's got to go for rookie running back. Say this is basically which one of these guys is your lowest running back outlook? Just in general, not talking fantasy. Damian Pierce, Breece Hall, Ken Walker, James Cook, or Brian Robinson?
So I picked Damian Pierce because I just think the upside is way bigger. And I actually took it fantasy-wise, so I can...
Even maybe... so, what are you doing?
Breece Hall and Ken Walker.
Were you asking literal football, Brady?
Well, let's do fantasy-wise. That's fine.
Yeah, fantasy's so good. Fantasy-wise, I had Hall and Walker for sure, safe. James Cook's huge upside and a really awesome offense. It seemed like the, you know, the coaching staff in Washington absolutely loves Brian Robinson. And so the little bit better draft capital in Brian Robinson than they had Damian Pierce. And that's what I was deciding between. I could be talked out of it, but I did go Damian Pierce.
And we're really doing this Derrick Henry thing again. Huh? We're just going to keep him low. You're going to rank him 42 again next year?
Could be. Becker, I already know Brady's answer, so I want to hear your answer first, Becker.
You know which one's got to go for me?
I have a suspicion, yes. But I would like to hear Becker's first.
Mine was Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
He was mine as well.
Yeah.
Can we rank these?
Yeah. To be like, I'll say Brady talking about Pierce's situation next year does get me thinking a little bit. Like, I do think you're right. There's probably more.
I'm terrified of that. Yeah.
Than maybe it appears on the surface as far as.
I just don't think Lovie Smith is gone. And if he's not gone, I think Damian Pierce is a captain for that team next year. Like, so, for sure. But like, it'll be interesting.
There's a change. You are correct. There's definitely a lot of more negativity there as far as his outlook. Then
Black Monday will be interesting. I'll tell you that much tomorrow.
It's a good call. Yeah. So rankings. I had just because of the injury, I had Walker 1, Hall 2, Cook 3, Robinson 4, Pierce 5.
Disrespectful. Go ahead, Jeremy.
If the situation stays exactly how it is right now, like
you got to play. Yeah, you can't do that.
I'm attacking it like Lovey's there. I'm gonna go Ken Walker, Damian Pierce, Breece Hall because of the injury, and I'm ranking next.
Wait,
year.
What?
I'm just looking at strictly next year, like that's a redraft
fine.
Situation.
That's fine. Wait, so did you put Pierce above Hall?
Yes, I did. Bold. James Cook, Brian Robinson.
That's not bold. Come on, that's not bold.
You have no idea how he's going to come off the injury.
He could be out. He could start on the pup. He could start on the pup. That's not bold at all. I actually appreciate it.
Now, I don't think that's that bold.
I do. I just think the draft capital alone, he's getting the work no matter what when he's back. No matter what.
That's just not true. He's a 21-year-old running back. They are not just going to look for a 16-week season.
And if you would have said that about J.K. Dobbins last offseason – you would be hurting.
I'm saying they are valuing his future, so they're not just going to throw out 30 carries his first week back.
Yeah,
I will go Ken Walker, Damian Pierce, Breece Hall, James Cook, Brian Robinson for next year. If we're going long term, I would go Breece Hall, Ken Walker, Damian Pierce, James Cook, Brian Robinson.
Sheesh. Yeah. Fair enough.
Breece and Ken would be my top two.
Last thing, we'll get it on record. Jeremy, good luck to your Packers. I hope they lose, but good luck to them.
Wow, appreciate that.
Yep, that's as nice as I can get it. So you can take that as a compliment. Yeah, okay, good.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Fourth and a Mile. Thank you so much for joining us. Go deep, and we'll see you.